Good evening. It's good to be able to come together this evening once again on the Lord's Day to worship God. I'm appreciative of your presence, and it's good to be able to come together to sing and pray and study God's Word together. In the scripture reading this evening of Luke chapter 7, Jesus enters into the home of Simon the Pharisee. And in this home, he's treated differently by two persons. He's treated one way by Simon, and he's treated another way by this woman. And in our scripture reading this evening of Luke chapter 7, Jesus says that you didn't give me water to wash my feet. You did not you didn't wet my feet with tears and wipe them with hair. You didn't anoint my head. He was treated differently based upon two different reactions toward Jesus. Jesus, in Simon's mind, was just another good fella. He was a good Jew, good guy. Passing through town, I think I'll have him over to the house for a meal. Simon was a Pharisee. He knew about teaching. He knew that Jesus was a teacher. Let's have him over to the house for a meal. A regular guy. But this woman is approached differently. To Jesus, this woman is the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. And she wants to be forgiven of her sins. This evening, I want us to ask the question, how do you view Jesus? What's your view toward Jesus? I want to talk a little bit this evening about the possibility that we might be too familiar with Jesus. We know too much about Him. We've spent too long a time with Him. And we've spent so much time in our life with Jesus. For those of us who've been, quote, raised in the church, that's happened from cradle to the present day, that we've been around Jesus every week, all the church services and the Lord's Suppers and the Bible classes and the sermons and the Wednesday night invitations. We've been around Jesus all of our life. Is it possible to be too familiar with Jesus? Is it possible to be around Jesus so much that we just sort of treat Him as a regular, ordinary guy and His Word in the same way? We need to be like this woman who, in her eyes, Jesus was everything. And she needed Him greatly. Jesus says, you didn't wash my feet, man. You didn't shed any tears over me. And by the way, washing feet was a very common thing at that time. That was something that typically hosts would do. Dirty feet with open sandals, walking on dusty roads, that was a very common thing. But you didn't give me any of those things, but this woman did. It's all in how we approach and view Jesus. This evening, I want us to consider the possibility that we can be too familiar with the Lord. Have you ever heard of the expression, familiarity breeds contempt? Do you know what that means? Familiarity breeds contempt. The more we're around somebody, when we're first around them, we're excited and we're very respectful. And we treat them kindly and nicely and we speak. But as time goes on, that relationship breaks down because we just sort of take them for granted. And we're not speaking kindly to them like we once did. It's sort of just now we've gotten into the humdrum, ho-hum routine of the matter, and we just sort of go through that. We're very familiar with that in marriage. When we're dating, boy, we're on our best behavior. We want to dress nice and smell right and speak right, make sure our teeth are brushed, and make sure that we're using good manners when we're out on dates because we're trying to win that boyfriend or that girlfriend. And when we first get married and we're on the honeymoon and weeks following, boy, we are on our best behavior. But after we've been married 25, 30, 35, 40 years, then you can just say anything you want to your spouse. You hear that sometimes. You'll hear spouses talking to each other in a very sometimes condescending way or unloving or unkind way. Well, yeah, she knows how I feel about her. And you just sort of... Familiarity breeds contempt. It happens sometimes with family members, or friends, or co-workers, or even brethren.
Sometimes our relationships with brethren are brand new. Certain situations, people just move in for the first time and that kind of thing. And everybody is saying hello and how you doing and we're glad to have you and we appreciate you and we're glad that you're here. But after a while, that sort of breaks down and we just pass each other like two ships in a night. We have that expression, familiarity breeds contempt. It doesn't have to, but often it does. And so we have to work at it, don't we? As spouses, we have to work at it that we don't let it slump into that situation or with family or with co-workers or with brethren, and especially this evening with Jesus. We actually have verses in the Bible that we're going to look at this evening that show this very concept. Begin with me this evening by turning to Matthew chapter 13. In all four Gospels, there is a story that is mentioned where people approach Jesus as just one of the family members and nothing more. And this is where we get our concept of being too familiar with Jesus. It's actually in the Gospels. Where some, especially his family, they just approach him as, well, he's my brother. He's a good guy. But I don't have to believe him as the Son of God. They knew him as that little child growing up. They knew him as the carpenter's son. And he always worked in his dad and he was planing that wood and he was sawing that wood. And I know him as a carpenter's son and I know him as a brother. But to believe on him as the Son of God, no, I'm not going to go that far. But they really knew Jesus as an ordinary Joe. Look at it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. And coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then has this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. We need to stop right there. The word offended doesn't mean someone who says something that's offensive to us. It sort of hurts our feelings and turns us the wrong way. That's not the word offended here. The word means cause to stumble, where we do not have a right relationship with Jesus. They wouldn't believe in him as the Son of God. And so they were offended, not in the sense of Jesus said and did something that kind of ticked me off a little bit. That's not what that means. It means they cannot see anything more than just Jesus as an ordinary carpenter's son. They wouldn't take the next step and believe and obey him. Verse 57, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." In other words, when I'm here, I don't get respect. I have to go somewhere else to get it. And you would think, well, that seems kind of odd, but that's often the case. Often the case, you're more respected somewhere else than you are in your own place. And so look at the result, verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Notice in verse 58, four, that they're astonished. You can be astonished. You can know who Jesus is and you can know some things about him. But verse 58, that doesn't mean you're going to believe him and obey him. They were too familiar with Jesus. They knew him just simply as, well, we know who Joseph is and we know who Mary is and he's the carpenter's son and he's a good fella. But that's all it went. Didn't go any further than that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. We see the same thing. Too familiar with Jesus. Mark chapter 6. Turn with me to verse 1. And he went out from there, and he cometh into his own country, and his disciples follow him. Notice he's in his own country. You would think this is going to be the place where he's really accepted. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where has this man these things? And what is the wisdom that is given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works wrought by his hands?"
they're listening to what he's saying, and they know that there's some wisdom in that, and they see him work miracles, and that would be impressive. But their approach is this: is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save except that he would lay his hands upon a few sick folk and heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went out round about the villages teaching. Notice that Jesus left and went somewhere else. He couldn't do anything there. He could heal a few sick folk, and that was it. The majority of people just did not want to accept him. They just viewed him as an ordinary fellow. Turning to Luke chapter 4, we see that it even gets a little worse. It's not just a matter of dismissing Jesus and sort of having this dismissive attitude toward him, like, he's just there. Now we're going to see in Luke chapter 4 that when he comes to his own, it's ratcheted up a notch. It's even, they want to hurt him. In Luke chapter 4, look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, underscore this in your Bible, where he had been brought up. That's the whole point of this. This is where they knew him day in and day out, week in and week out. They just knew him from birth all the way up to about age 30. And this is where he grows up. So you would think that this would be the place where they are really excited about Jesus, and it's the exact opposite. So he's in this synagogue where he's grown up, and he entered in as his custom was, and here's where he reads from the scroll of Isaiah. Come down with me to verse 22. Closed the book, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, doubtless you will say unto me this parable, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy own country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. Jesus said the same thing that we read before, but he puts it in the positive way. He doesn't have the word not in it. So he just says it in a positive way. No prophet is acceptable in his own country. Why? Because familiarity breeds contempt. They weren't taking him seriously. They liked what he said in the synagogue. The text says that in verse 22 that they thought that he had words of grace. But look at what happens before the day is out. Turn with me to verse 28. When he talks about Elijah and Elisha, they were filled with wrath in the synagogue as they heard these things. And they rose up and cast him forth out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Now look at verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. He went somewhere where that he was accepted. But everybody knows him as the carpenter's son. And it includes his own family. Turn with me to John chapter 7. We can be so close to someone and at the same time be so blinded. We can be so close to someone and yet at the same time be so blinded to the truth of what is being presented. In John chapter 7, this involves his own brethren. The word brethren here doesn't mean Jewish people. It's his own brothers in his own family. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, John 7 and verse 1, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of tabernacles, was at hand. His brethren, this is his physical brothers and sisters, his personal family, they said unto him, depart from here and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may behold thy works which thou doest.
For no man doeth anything in secret, and himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, manifest thyself to the world. For even his brethren did not believe on him. Well, wait a minute. They're supposed to be the very ones that grew up with him and accept him for who he is. No, familiarity breeds contempt. We can be around someone long enough to where we lower our appreciation for them, our care for them, our concern for them, our love for them, our willing to listen to what he is saying. So because of that danger, and we know that in marriage, we know that. And we know that with relatives and friends and co-workers and brothers, we know that that is a reality. And we've just read four passages that tell us that it is a reality with Jesus. Tonight the encouragement is to be careful of this situation that can creep up on us and we're not really aware of it. I don't believe it happens overnight. We don't just wake up one morning disrespecting our spouse. It comes over a long series of slow deteriorations and eroding of that relationship. And people, we erode it a little bit and then we get comfortable with that. And then we erode it some more and we get comfortable with that. And then we erode it some more. It's a slow erosion and accepting process. Well, I just got to live with it. I've just got to be a part of it. This is just the way life is. And it slowly creeps up on us. With regard to marriage, that's one reason why we have so many divorces. We're just slowly breaking down that relationship. And family problems and relative problems and problems at work and with our brethren in the local church. It's just a slow thing. And it could be a number of reasons. I'm not saying familiarity is the only reason, but familiarity and that slow erosion where we just don't take people seriously anymore, that can be one factor. And so let's look this evening with regard to this matter. In John chapter 7 and verse 5, this is a serious thing. They did not believe on him. And in the book of John, belief is one of the key themes of the book, that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That theme is stated later in John 20, verses 30 and 31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name, eternal life. This is extremely important. This is not just some miscellaneous problem with his brethren. They're going to be lost, because they won't believe their brother. And it's just because they viewed him as, well, he's the older brother, or he's the younger brother, and nothing more. So it's a serious thing. And I want to look this evening and help us along these lines so that we don't wake up one day too familiar with Jesus. They viewed Jesus in these occasions, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they viewed him as no different than anybody else. And when they heard him speak, they thought, wow, this guy has some words of grace. They appreciated his tone and maybe his delivery and maybe some of the things that he was saying, but not enough to believe him. And they knew that he was doing many mighty works, these miracles. They understood that, but not enough to believe him. There was some level of appreciation there, but not enough to believe and obey. So really, at the end of the day, Jesus is really no different than anybody else out there. And may we be guilty of the same? Is it possible? That's what I want us to introspect in ourselves this evening. You know, what we find in these four accounts, Matthew 13, Luke 4, Mark 6, John 7, there are three things that come out in all four of those stories. Number one, we choose how we view Jesus. We can view him as just an ordinary guy and a good guy and there's some good things about him, or we can view him as the divine Son of God. When Jesus was in the home of Simon, to Simon, Jesus was a cool dude. You know, let's have him over for a meal. To the woman, he was a Savior. You have that choice this evening. I have that choice. We can view him as just the carpenter's son, or we can view him as the Almighty Son of God. The second thing that we learn from these four accounts is that true blessings that come from Jesus are missed when we are too familiar with him. Come back with me to Mark chapter 6. Did you notice in Mark chapter 6 that the text says that because of their approach to Jesus, he couldn't do the things there that he wanted to do? Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. He could do there no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. He could have done a lot of things for them. But because their view of him was, well, he's just an interesting dude, he left and went somewhere else. They could have been blessed so much more. More people could have been healed. More people could have been taught. When we are too familiar with Jesus, we're actually missing out on blessings that can help us and aid us and encourage us. He's there to teach us and to raise us up and to change us and to help us. But we've got to let him do that. And when we don't, then the third point that comes out is he'll leave. He's not going to force himself on you and me. He's not going to force himself to stay in our life and stay in our home and stay in our heart and just force us to do what he wants us to. He's not going to do that. He'll go somewhere else where other people do accept him. And so that's what he does. The very next verse, he marveled because of their unbelief, and then he went somewhere else and taught them. They were just too familiar with Jesus. So this evening, I want us to ask that same question. Is it possible that we can be too familiar with Jesus? Are we too familiar with Jesus to believe and obey him? That's what happened here in these stories. It said that they had unbelief. Here's a person who needs to obey the gospel. They need to be baptized into Christ. You may be here this evening needing that. When you first heard that, boy, you wondered about that. That's the way I can be saved. That's how I can have my sins forgiven. And you know, I need to pay attention to that. And Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I go home bothered when I heard that invitation. But here we are 100 invitations later and I still haven't done anything. Are we too familiar with Jesus? The message doesn't stir us anymore. It doesn't prick our heart anymore. The same thing is said week in and week out, but it doesn't move me like it did that very first time I heard, boy, that's something I need to be thinking about. Being baptized. If I die tonight of my sins, I'm going to be lost and I'm going to go to hell and I'm bothered by that. But then a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, I've heard so many of those. I can repeat them in my sleep, and I still haven't obeyed. One of the problems might be I'm just too familiar with Jesus. Oh, it's just an invitation. They're doing that invitation thing again. You see? You see how you can get just too familiar? Where it doesn't move us anymore to believe and obey and become a Christian like we need to? In the book of Acts, we read where some were pricked in their heart and the Lord opened the heart of Lydia. We find that some were moved and they did that in the same hour of the night. But when we hear sermon after sermon and invitation after invitation, and we can rattle off all the verses, and we've heard Acts 2:38, we can read it forward and backward and we can repeat it and quote it, but we still haven't obeyed. Why is that? It could be that we're just too familiar. It's just a worship service you sit in. You don't really have to pay attention anymore. You don't have to get up and do anything anymore. You just go through the motions, and we all know that in about 45 minutes we're going to go home and we'll watch some TV and do some homework and have a meal and maybe put a movie in or whatever. We'll get on with the rest of our life. And I know that I've got to sit through a 45-minute sermon. We'll do that. But the words of Jesus don't move us anymore. It could be we're too familiar with Jesus. It could be a number of other reasons, but I want to explore this evening that it could be that we're too familiar with Jesus. Are we too familiar with Jesus to get excited about his words? Turn through to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, on another occasion when Jesus was preaching,
after the healing of this man who couldn't speak and he couldn't hear, this deaf mute, Mark chapter 7, verse 35, and his ears were opened and the bond of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. Now look at this. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. They were excited about this man. Are we that way when Jesus speaks to us in His Word today? Or is it that the sermon is boring? I'm bored. And the Bible class is boring. And the song service is boring. And I'd rather talk, and I'd rather think about some other kinds of things. I'm just really bored. It's bored. We don't get excited anymore with the Word of God. And granted, there may be a number of other men that can preach a lot better than I can and make it more exciting. But when the Word of God is there, we should be excited about that. Look at their reaction. Verse 37, they were beyond measure astonished. Not just astonished, but these guys were excited about what Jesus had done. And they're just telling everybody about it. Is it possible that we've listened to so many sermons that we're bored? Or sat through so many Bible classes that we're bored? And we don't really want to do daily Bible reading because it's boring, you see. Could be that we're too familiar with Jesus. At the beginning, it was exciting. At the beginning, I took notes and I followed along and I read in my Bible and I kept up and I wanted to learn more. But now it's just, can we get through this? You see. Could be that we're too familiar with Jesus. Do you remember when you were dating and your future spouse was telling a story and you listened carefully? Now it's like you're sitting across the dinner table going, oh, are they just droning on? When are they going to finish? I hope we don't do that. But the idea is that when relationships are new, there's excitement and appreciation and a high level of interest. But as it goes along, we get too familiar. Are we too familiar with Jesus to learn more? Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. I can't learn anything else. I was raised in the church, and I know my Bible, and you really can't teach me anything. Are we too familiar with Jesus that we can't learn any more about Him? That we don't want to listen, that we don't want to learn, that we don't want to dig in and do Bible study and word studies and context and background study? Or is it just sort of, has it become just sort of ritual and routine? We need to be like the common people. Mark chapter 12 and verse 37. David himself calleth him Lord. And whence or where is he his son? And the common people heard him gladly. The common people. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, we don't have time for this guy. We know the law. We don't need to listen to Jesus. But the common people loved him and wanted to learn more. And wanted to look at their Bible and dig in and study and what can I and search the scriptures, Acts 17:11. Do you know everything about the Bible? Do I know everything that we just don't need to dig in anymore? Study anymore? I believe there are brethren here that have read their Bible many, many times, but there's always something new that you can find and learn. Are we too familiar with Jesus to learn anymore from Him? And Bible class or study or sermons or other types of things, it's more exhausting than it is rewarding. Not I get to get my lesson, but I have to. It may be that we're too familiar with Jesus. Are we too familiar with Jesus to tell others about Him? Do you remember when you became a Christian and you came up out of the waters of baptism and you couldn't wait to talk with others? You were excited about forgiveness of sins and maybe you told some others about that. But now, It's difficult. And so Roger is teaching us about the importance of doing personal work and getting out of our comfort zone. And it may be a number of reasons why we don't tell other people about Jesus. It could be fear. It could be embarrassment. There might be a number of factors, but I want to suggest this evening maybe one of them is we're too familiar with Jesus. We've been around Him so long that we don't want to tell anybody about Him. He's not up here anymore like He once was. When we came up out of the waters of baptism, He was up here. And there are many brethren in the church who are now brethren because someone who was just baptized went and told somebody else. My sister and brother-in-law are here this evening from Ohio. They were telling me about some members of the church there. A man was listening. He's a truck driver. He's listening to the radio program from this congregation at Fredericktown up in Ohio. It's at 2 in the morning. They ran the program all throughout the night. He hears this driving his truck. He wants to be baptized, and he gets his family baptized and anybody that he can. He's excited about that. Are we too familiar with Jesus to tell people any more about Him? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached the Christ to them. Has Jesus become ho-hum and just sort of... We would never say that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, but He's just sort of down here with a bunch of other folks. He's not up here anymore. He's just sort of down here, and familiarity breeds contempt. And so, you know, I really don't want to bore people with Jesus. We need to be telling others about Him. The excitement still needs to be there. He's still our Savior. It's not a one-time deal in the waters of baptism. He's our Savior every day, and we need to be telling others about Him. But are we too familiar to tell others about Him? We know Him ourselves. We were glad somebody told us, but we don't want to tell anybody else. We're glad somebody invited us to a gospel meeting and had a home Bible study with us and offered an invitation. We're certainly glad that we're in the church, but I don't know if I want to tell others about Him. Why? It may be He's no longer that exciting thing in our life. He's just the carpenter's son. Are we too familiar with Jesus to be with His brethren? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. How highly do we esteem our brethren? Oh, it's just brother so-and-so. It's just sister so-and-so. And we can run roughshod over them, or we can treat them any way that we want. Paul writes in Romans 12 and verse 10, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another. Look at this. In honor, preferring one another. I wonder sometimes if brethren would feel more comfortable being with their worldly friends than they are their own brethren. We're to prefer one another and hold each other in high esteem. We're brethren of Christ. Are we too familiar to just be with our brethren and prefer their company? And encourage them and be unified with them? Or would we rather be out with those in the world? Are we too familiar with Jesus to worship properly? We had a study a few weeks ago on what does it mean to partake in an unworthy manner. And I appreciate the good feedback from that lesson. It's a reminder that when we come here to worship and we're taking the Lord's Supper and we're singing and other things, our heart and our mind needs to be in that. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God on His throne. He's ruling and reigning, and we're worshiping God and Jesus. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just carrying on as we would like. Are we too familiar with Jesus that when we come in and take the Lord's Supper, we really don't discern the body and the blood, or that we're singing or praying and we're just going through the motions? Oh yeah, that's another worship service. I've done that hundreds of times. I know what's coming up. I know what the guy's going to say for the prayer. I know what brother so-and-so is going to lead in the songbook. I know all the words of the song. We just sort of go through the motions, you see. And I include myself. It's easy for me to do that. But let us not be so familiar with Jesus that we don't worship Him properly. And Paul says that if we don't discern the body and the blood, that we're going to receive condemnation or judgment toward ourselves. That's a serious thing. Oh, it's just another worship service. My sister and I were taken to services from the time we were born. And I appreciate my parents establishing that habit. We need to establish that habit for our children. So habits are good, but it needs to be more than just a habit. It's not just a routine or a ritual. It needs to be, I'm here because I want to worship the Creator of the universe, God and His Son. I would never misbehave during the worship service if I was appreciative of Jesus. I would never do that. Just like I wouldn't do that at a funeral. If I was appreciative of the one laying in that casket and their family. I would never do that at a funeral. I would never do that at a wedding. If I honored the bride and the groom that were standing up there and the families of both sides, I would never be goofing around at a wedding. Because I respect that, you see. And we respect Jesus. Let's not be so familiar that our worship maybe has slumped into just something that we go through. Am I too familiar with Jesus to assemble and live faithfully? In the first century, there were those that had made a custom of forsaking the assembly. There may be those here who could be here and they choose not to be here. And I know that that's an uncomfortable topic. People are uncomfortable talking about that kind of thing. I realize that. But it needs to be talked about. It's a reality. There may be brethren who could be here but choose not to be. One of the problems, there may be a number of problems, worldliness, other kinds of things, but one of it might just be that Jesus is just a good guy. He's a cool dude. And I don't have to be there all the time to worship Him. And I can forsake and I can leave and I can go do something else. And so we find that they did that. And then look with me at verse 29, Hebrews 10:29. These are brethren, by the way. This is not worldly people. Brethren have sinned willfully in their life. They don't want to get that out of their life. And their approach is this. Of how much sore punishment think ye shall be judged worthy, this is brethren, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. When Christians, verse 26, when Christians, brethren, sin willfully, and they won't get that out of their life, it's like taking Jesus and just trampling Him underfoot. You mean just wiping your foot on Jesus like a floor mat or a doormat. You might as well do that. Just wipe your feet on Jesus. Trodden Him underfoot. And then you've done despite to the Spirit of grace. You take the Holy Spirit and you say, you go jump in a lake. I'm not going to listen to your words. And you just despise the Holy Spirit. That could happen by just being too familiar. And we're thinking, well, Jesus won't mind if I do this. And Jesus won't care if I live this way, you see. Are we too familiar with Jesus to do exactly as He says? Some take the approach that, well, the Bible, it's got some good general principles in it, but I don't actually have to do what it says. I don't have to follow it in detail. It has some nice, it's like a refrigerator magnet. You know, it's got some neat little sayings and we can, you know, it's good for calendars and refrigerator magnets and bathroom reading and things like that. But it's not my daily law. It's not a law. I don't actually have to do exactly what it says. Are we too familiar with Jesus that we have lowered Him from that high and lofty, I have to go out and do exactly what He says, to down here where, you know, sort of take it or leave it. Stuff that I already am okay doing, I'll do that. Stuff that I'm not good, you know, I don't want to do that, well then I don't have to do that. 1 John 2, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know Him, Jesus. John had just been talking about Jesus in verses 1 and 2. And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, that is, I've got a great relationship with Jesus, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar,
and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him, in Jesus. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. I'm going to walk just like Jesus did. I'm going to live just like he did. I'm going to follow his word. Too familiar with Jesus. Well, as we come to the close of our lesson this evening, how can we overcome this? If it is in our life, it may not be. You have to assess that for your heart tonight. I have to assess that for my heart. But if we're too familiar with Jesus, and there's evidence of that by the things that we've been talking about, I'm just not obeying the invitation when I could, and all of these things that we talked about, how can we overcome that? It'd be the same with our marriage. If there's some of that in our marriage, or if there's some of that in this local church where we just don't value and honor each other, how can we overcome that? I'm going to suggest two things. Two scriptural things. First of all, keep it fresh. Turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 18. Keep it fresh. That's what the wife is saying when she tells you guys, can we go out on a date? Can we go do this? Can we go do that? She's wanting to keep it fresh. She doesn't want it to slump into this ho-hum routine of taking each other for granted. And she's got a good point. Keep it fresh. This verse speaks to Bible study, but it could be applied to the worship service. It could be applied to all the things that we've been talking about this evening, where we have this attitude that I'm always going to find something new and fresh and exciting every day I live, and especially when I come together in the worship service. Psalm 119 and verse 18, David didn't have this attitude. Oh, I got to open up the Bible again and read it. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There's always things I can see and find and study and learn, and I'm excited about that. And when I sing and pray and take the Lord's Supper and listen to the sermon and go through the Bible class, it's exciting. It's new. It's fresh. And those of us who are leading those services, the song leader and standing around the Lord's table, let's keep it fresh. Let's keep it exciting. That's why we don't want to read, for example, 1 Corinthians 11 every time we go to the Lord's table. Because that would become just sort of a ritual and a routine, just going through the motions. Keep it fresh. Keep it exciting. Keep it new. And then secondly, maintain the highest level of respect and honor for that other person. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. What is the very first picture of Jesus to these suffering saints at the end of the first century who are going through this persecution by the Roman Empire? They're being knocked down. Some of them are being killed. And the seven churches of Asia, these Christians need to be shown something about Jesus. What are they shown about him? Are they shown, well, oh, he's just the carpenter's son. No, John gets this vision, and it starts in verse 13. A son of man clothed with garment down to his foot and girt about at the breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white as wool, as snow. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet likened unto burnished brass, and it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in its strength. It's like looking at the sun, S-O-N, you're looking at the sun, S-U-N. It's to give them this high and lofty picture of who Jesus is. And it's not just to comfort them. Look at the seven churches of Asia. Some of them had to repent. Well, Jesus is telling me to repent. Who is he? This one with the sharp two-edged sword and this great countenance, and he's like looking at the sun. That's who's telling me to repent. You see? When I keep Jesus up here, then I'll never get too familiar with him. And at the first moment, I'll be baptized into his body. And I'll love a study of his word. And I'll love to come and worship. And I'll love Bible study and reading at home, because he's up here. And I'm not going to be so familiar with him that I just bring him down here. And then go on our merry way. And then he leaves
and goes where He wants to be. We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation.
But knowing Jesus is not just about information. It's about transformation. And He wants to transform us and make us into His own. It's not just about learning some things. His family knew some things about Him. Oh, did you notice in those scriptures they could rattle off all of His brothers' names? Well, that's interesting. Rattle off the sisters and the brothers, but they wouldn't believe Him. Oh, they knew some things about Him, but not what they needed to be saved. Let's not be too familiar with Jesus and that we have Him in our life each day. His grace reaches us, and it'll reach down this evening to save us.
If you are subject to the invitation, we want to encourage you to come forward. But don't just let that go on and on and on. It may never happen. And let's go out serving Jesus to the best of our ability. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?